Mr. Nye Swender.
Good morning, Chair Miller.
Medicaid fraud. Timely subject for today, speaking of fraud. Go ahead.
Chair Miller, committee members, House Bill 2452, I placed before you a packet. This bill is referred to Ways and Means. It has a, built into its current version, has a $250,000 appropriation to increase the funding for Medicaid fraud unit. It's now about a 7.5 FTE unit that has to turn away. It doesn't get to take on very many cases because of the limitations of staff. This program is funded with matching funds. A 75% additional funding is available through a federal fund match. When the bill was referred here, the fiscal impact was reviewed, and the fund source for this particular bill is anticipated recoveries from the investigations. As such, the fund source is from a corresponding reduction in the funding in the Department of Human Services Office of Medical Assistance Program. And they get another funds limitation when that budget is passed. In looking at the Dash 1 amendments will amend this bill to match it up with the fiscal impact statement that we've attached also. You'll see that the general fund appropriation necessary is reduced from $250,000 to $204,011. And as a result of that, the federal matching funds are $610,172. With this additional funding, the unit will be able to add additional staff, investigate additional cases, and receive additional recoveries. We believe, based on our review of the cases, that it'll probably be a break-even proposition in the first biennium in terms of dollars invested in recoveries, but in subsequent biennium, there's the potential for even greater recoveries than the initial investment. Anyway, the bill has been assigned to the subcommittee for amendment, and there's a staff person from the Department of Justice Medicaid Fraud Unit. If you have any specific questions about the unit's workload or how they will use this resource. Otherwise, the Dash 1 amendments will be all that's necessary.
We can't work anything yet.
All that's necessary today.
We don't have a large enough group to work it. Let me ask you this. Is this an additional appropriation to the department?
Above what was already, and their budget has passed both sides of the House and signed by the
right.
Governor. It is additional.
Let me make this request before we have a work session on this bill. I'd like you to, since we were extraordinarily generous to this department in the first round, I'd like them to absorb this within their existing budget and give them another $250,000 hit. So if we can work on that, that's
Mr.
something
Chair.
I'd like to see at a work session.
Yes, is that a general fund additional amount?
Correct.
Is that what you said? I wasn't quite sure how that worked.
I think they got in the neighborhood of 12% increase, which is a lot more generous than most of the budgets, obviously, we've dealt with, and clearly they could absorb it.
The general fund addition primarily for DOJ was in the area of criminal appeals and district attorney assistance. And this is a matching fund requirement in order for them to access the additional federal funds. It would have to be specifically identified federal general funds for the program. So
maybe they can be inspired to find it.
Chair, I'm willing to have those discussions with the agency up to this point. The co-chair has assigned it with the anticipation that this additional resource would be provided.
Okay. With that, we'll...
Is anybody here to talk
speak
about
to this
that?
Budget yeah. at this time before we
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ellen Sternfield. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Oregon Department of Justice, and I am specifically assigned as the attorney in charge of the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit. The Medicaid Fraud Control Unit is actually a requirement of federal law. Each state is required to have a Medicaid Fraud Control Unit, which is specifically assigned by federal law to address Medicaid provider fraud against the Medicaid program and abuse and neglect of Medicaid recipients by Medicaid providers. As Mr. Nisswender indicated, it is a federal matching program. For every dollar of state general funds apportioned to the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit, the federal government will match $3. It's a 75%, 25% match. The only requirement is that, well, there are several requirements. One is that the unit be housed outside of the state department that administers the Medicaid program, that it have prosecution authority, independent prosecution authority, and that the funds be used specifically for the purposes within the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit. Our unit was established in the late 1980s. It originally had 4 staff members. It's grown somewhat to 7.5, but as also was indicated by Mr. Nisswender, we turn down approximately 2/3 of the cases that we get referred to us from around the state due to lack of staff resources. I am not a member of DOJ's fiscal staff, but I feel fairly confident that we would not receive additional funding from the general fund appropriation based upon my knowledge and information about DOJ's budget. It's stretched extremely thin. We are not in the same department, a division within the state that handles the criminal appeals and DA assist. We are a specific standalone unit, and we have to basically fund ourselves based upon our existing general fund appropriation and the matching federal funds.
Okay, Senator Troll.
What's the track record in this? You say that you don't have enough staff to handle the number of cases, but when you do go after these cases, basically, does it cost more to go after them than we benefit from them? I understand maybe the cases pay for the process, but did you just break even, or do you lose money, or do you make money?
Looking at a general trend, I would say we definitely make money. For example, in last federal fiscal year, and we keep statistics both by federal fiscal year and by state biennium because of the dueling budgets, we brought back over $1 million to the state, whereas our general fund appropriation was approximately $100,000 for that year. The money that we bring back initially goes, if it's damages, to the Medicaid program, and that's one reason OMAP is willing to fund this, because they see a result of our cases. We do some cases, Senator. I must tell you that as a prosecutor, you might not say are cost efficient. For example, we'll do a number of cases, usually at least 8 or 10 a year, all around the state, involving smaller providers who defraud the system, in-home care providers who forge statements that they've provided services that they did not in fact provide, people who bill for services after their client died. We have similar type of cases currently pending in Josephine, Coos, Umatilla, all around the state. One of the reasons we do those cases is because if we don't, the word is out in the provider community that if you get caught, the worst thing that happens is you pay the money back. And we see a significant deterrent impact from doing a case. So we may expend resources on a $500 or $600 case that probably costs more to prosecute, and we don't see it in measurable money back, but we believe we see it in deterrence value and what we hear in the community. But overall, we generally bring back significantly more money to the state than is expended in general fund.
Are we required to have such a unit by the federal government?
We're required to have such a unit by the federal government. The minimal staffing required by the federal government is one attorney, one auditor, and one investigator, all with criminal experience to prosecute cases. Our unit is presently staffed by 3 attorneys, 2 investigators, and 1 auditor. The main purpose of this bill would be to up our investigative and audit resources to enable us to do more of the billing fraud cases. Those cases, a lot of times, are computer-based, are run across jurisdictional lines, and we are very, very short on the investigative resources to be able to handle those cases. We're also required by the federal government to screen every case initially for criminal prosecution, but where appropriate, we look at the less onerous civil remedies to make sure the program gets made whole. We can perhaps keep providers as providers, but change their conduct to make sure they're acting appropriately.
Is our program fairly typical of a program in other states?
No, it's much smaller than, the federal government funds the program and has a cap based upon the size of the Medicaid program. Looking at our current, Oregon's current 2001 federal fiscal year Medicaid budget, states with comparably sized Medicaid budgets have Medicaid fraud control units staffed between 17 and 24 individuals. Ours is 7.5 presently. This would enable us to go to about 12 to 13 people.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Else pushing to testify House Bill 2452. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2452. We'll open up a work session on House Bill 2348.
Mr. Chair?
2348,
are you
yes.
not going to work session on 2452?
That's not my intention.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, you have before you House Bills 2348 and also 2351, which are the product of an interim work group that met at the direction of a budget note to look for ways to reduce the cost of criminal appeals. The product of that work group was House Bills 2348 and 2351. 2348 is an attempt to reduce the cost of judicial review of Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision orders. Under the current system, these cases are proceeding through habeas corpus, which requires a circuit court level review and then an appellate court level review. Under this bill, these reviews would go directly to the Court of Appeals. One thing this change does require is some adjustments to four budgets. Currently, the Department of Corrections pays for the cost of these appeals because they proceed through habeas cases. And the Indigent Defense Account is paying for the state paid counsel. So we need to do an amendment that you should have before you right underneath the memo from LFO. The next page are some amendments that would adjust budgets. Department of Corrections would have $358,887,000 disappropriated, and the Judicial Department's Indigent Defense Account would have $106,725 disappropriated. Then the new system will have the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision paying for the costs of the State Council. So there is an appropriation of $286,609 to the State Board of Parole. And the Public Defender now would be handling these cases. And there is an appropriation of $174,088. Also, the fiscal impact, which is, I think, on the next page, shows these changes and the full savings when fully phased in of about $600,000 in 03-05.
All right, thank you. We had this presentation yesterday during the time you all were meeting. And
Mr. Chair, I'll move the amendments.
Thank you. Senator Trowell moves the -5 amendments to House Bill 2348. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Are you seeing none? The amendments are agreed to. Senator Trowell moves. Senator Trowell moves House Bill 2348 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. Close the work session on House Bill 2348. Thank you.
And would you like to go to
House Bill 2351? We'll open up a work session on House Bill 2351.
House Bill 2351 is another product of the work group. And this is an attempt to reduce some of the workload at the Public Defender's Office. Currently, they get a number of requests for appeals that they see on their face have really no merit. And they would like some process to be able to weed out some of those cases up front, essentially. What this bill would do would have the trial court level attorney filling out a form that's developed by the public defender, listing the, I believe, the merits of the case if they want to appeal. That would be forwarded to the public defender. If the public defender saw no merit, they would contact the defendant and let them know that there's really no merit to the case, at which case, hopefully, the defendant would not pursue the appeal and they would not have to file a notice of appeal. Really, it's as much an administrative savings for their office as anything else, because these cases are usually then disposed of very quickly. But it's just a cutting some of the note, filing the notices of appeals out. This will also produce a little bit of savings for the indigent defense account, because they have to provide transcripts to the public defender when these cases, when there is a notice filed. So we don't recommend any adjustments for this particular bill. LFO recommends that any resources freed up by this bill for the public defender's office be used to address their backlog of cases, which they currently have, and also any additional resources they may need for 2348 above and beyond what was provided, which is one attorney and a half-time support position, that they could use some of this freed up resources to address that bill as well. And for the public, for the indigent defense account, it's about $125,000 savings in 0103. LFO recommends that this be used to partially address their $4.5 million cut to CSL.
And Mr. Groom was here yesterday responding to inquiries from Senator Troll and saying that he was in favor of this and thought it was fair to the system and those he represents.
I think he said that there might be some instances where somebody would feel that additional step that they might get would serve the cause of justice, but generally thought there were ways of handling those things and that the system would work well.
Mr. Chair, are we in work session? I would move House Bill 2351 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Brown moves House Bill 2351 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Objection. Hearing and seeing, it is so ordered.
Just need some carriers.
Thank you, Paul. Well, Senator Brown did make that motion.
I'm happy to carry that,
and
Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Crow made the prior motion.
Okay.
They're both eloquent speakers.
I believe only 2348 will need to go to the House. 2351's already passed the House. We don't have any amendments. So.
Well, if you see it again. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for your help. We'll close the work session, House Bill 2351. Open up a work session on 5049, House Bill 5049.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5049, briefly refresh your memories, is a cleanup bill of retroactive adjustments. Certain budgets were passed out before we had made adjustments to the Department of Justice hourly rate, Secretary of State Audits Division assessments and the like. And you have before you a dash one amendment to 5049. This is basically a gut and stuff. The dash one amendment would provide those retroactive adjustments to other funds, federal funds, and general fund limitation for those retroactive adjustments from Secretary of State Audits assessment adjustment, DOJ rates and the like. Subsequent to that, we've had a few other adjustments. We went over a couple of them yesterday. One was a couple of weeks ago, we passed out House Bill 2127 that would make the Landscape Contractors Board a semi-independent agency. And there was a budget budget report attached to it, identifying the limitation that would need in the transition period. However, the bill didn't have the expenditure limitation in it, so this bill would provide the $53,881 for that. Also, subsequent, there was some testimony and discussion about the Department of Justice picking up some Social Security fraud investigation activities that previously had been done by the state police. They need three staff and about 2.63 FTE, I think is the number, and $403,977 of limitation. All of this is federal funds that would flow through Department of Human Services bulk rehab to the Department of Justice. So it's other funds through the DOJ, and this is for certain fraud follow-up cases. There also were two letter requests to amend the 0103 budgets. One was from the Office of Health Plan Policy and Research to basically shift expenditure limitation provided in this biennium to next biennium for a federal grant. They had misjudged the timing of their expenditures for the grant that had been provided, and so they just want to shift. And one of the adjustments is to reduce the appropriation for this biennium and increase it by a like amount for next biennium. They had also had some leftover money on a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant that they thought they were going to have to return, but the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation said they could expend the money in the old 103 biennium for certain purposes, so they asked for expenditure limitation for that. Mr. Santa from the office was here and testified yesterday. The result of that was our recommendation is to shift $314,000 of federal funds from this biennium to next. We'll take it out of the expenditure limitation this biennium, and also to provide the $41,274 of other funds limitation in next biennium's budget. There also was a letter request from the Department of Administrative Services for the Oregon Center for E-Commerce and Government. Prior legislative action was to provide $1 of expenditure limitation in the department's budget request, pending them coming back with additional plans. They did so. That information was presented to the Advancing E-Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means yesterday afternoon, and attached to my memo of today is the Advancing E-Government's written recommendation with respect to that. And it is to 18 positions. It would be 18 FTE, 8 of which would be permanent positions, 10 limited duration, and expenditure limitation of $2,490,147, and they've provided some language they'd like to see in the budget report, giving some direction to the agency. This agency will be returning to the interim committee, the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, with updates and for legislative oversight, as well as they will have to return to the emergency board for additional expenditure limitation as they staff up, ramp up for this e-commerce in government. So those would be the last of the amendments which we would tack on to the dash one, and therefore have a dash two to the House Bill 5049.
Chair.
And the dash two is?
Would be the dash one plus staff's recommendations in my memo of May 31.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash ones, then I'll move the dash twos.
Senator Trowell moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 5049. Is there a discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to.
The dash two. Is that what you want?
In
the way of a motion?
Well, it is. I don't know if I'm that familiar with moving memos as a dash two. Well,
if you adopt staff's recommendations, then we would have the amending language drafted and it would be incorporated and presented to full as the dash two.
Oh, so we can only amend it with dash one here and then send it?
I think his intention is to staff have conforming language show up in the usual format, correct?
Yes, but
that's.
We have a dash two in concept.
Is that what we have?
Staff recommendations.
If you adopt staff recommendations, then I will take these to council and they will put them into one amendment.
And then we bring it back?
No, that would come to full.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any reason for us not to, if we agree to language, the purpose of this memo, which would be the dash twos, is there any problem in not having that put into the usual form and style from Legislative Council for this committee to approve?
No.
I think that would be the...
You'd like to see the dash two?
I think that's been the normal course. There's no problem with what you're suggesting, I'm sure, but it's kind of in that nature of conceptual and all those things that we've tried to avoid.
Right.
So if that's okay with the committee, then we will just await the... let me get a sense that we are approving in...
We've amended with the dash one.
And asked Dallas to go out and secure the language that's in accordance with the memo that he's presented today.
Okay. Great.
Agreement on that? Okay. Anything further on House Bill 5049? If not, we'll close the work session. House Bill 5049. Anything further to come before the committee? All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Oh, I'm glad I could be here.